this first talk, I just want to introduce Thérèse's life. Some of you maybe don't know a lot about Thérèse of Lisieux, and it's good just to know the structure of her life. And for those of you who do feel you know her well, it's nice just to be reminded of how extraordinary her life is. But so just to go through her life, to get to know her a little bit, and then really what I want to come to is to tell the story of her conversion, because that's the theme of this talk, conversion. So I'll tell her story, and her conversion happens in the middle, and then I'll come back to tell that bit of the story. So, Thérèse of Lisieux, on the exterior, she lived a very undramatic life. Even a limited life. She was only 24 when she died. She lived a simple, sheltered life in the cultural confines of 19th century bourgeois France. So when you just read the outlines of her life as a person, or when as a Catholic you know about her and you think, oh, Thérèse, she's the little flower. Have you heard that phrase before? Oh, you've heard about the spirituality of her little way. So bourgeois little flowers. There's just the risk that you see Thérèse as sweet and submissive and a kind of unthreatening saint. Just a pious girl appealing to that sweet, unthreatening side of Catholic piety. And you might look on her and be attracted to her sweetness and to her helplessness even. And there's a risk in that. So just to tell the story of her life, and to show that, in fact, it is anything but sweet and unthreatening. It's quite dark and dramatic and challenging in some ways, her life. She was born Thérèse Martin, on the 2nd of January, 1873, in the Normandy town, northern France, of Alençon. Mum and Dad, Zélie and Louis. And Zélie and Louis, you've probably heard, were canonized, were beatified rather, very recently. They were made blessed. So it's really important to know this. They were beatified because of who they were, and not because they were Thérèse's parents. It's just marvelous to have, I know they're blessed, but let's call them canonized in the sense of we know that they're in heaven now, blessed. A mum and a dad, a husband and a wife, who, as I'm going to say, went through so much. So Thérèse is a saint, and her mum and dad are blessed now. They had 9 children. Hello. Come on in. Welcome. Come and sit down. And we're just talking about Thérèse, the little flower. Just going through her life. They had 9 children, and 4 of them died young. 3 died as babies, and 1, Hélène, died, I think she was 4 or 5 years old. So you can see what they went through as a family, and what they went through as parents. Another reason I'm so happy that they've been made blessed is because they're such examples and role models for parents who are going through very real difficulties. Possibly the loss of children, but all the difficulties that parents go through. And the 5 remaining girls all entered convents. So, again, they've been through a lot, these parents. Louis hoped to be an Augustinian canon, and he was sent away to learn Latin. And somewhere along the line then, learning his Latin, he had a change of heart. We're not quite sure what happened. But there's a man with a desire for a religious vocation which didn't work out. So someone to be a real example to young Catholics today, thinking about vocation and is this going to work out or not. And he became a watchmaker. And Zélie, Thérèse's mum, it didn't work out. She was rejected by that. She wanted to be a sister of St. Vincent de Paul. And there wasn't some profound discernment and a nice piece of paper written out to explain all the different reasons. The Mother Superior just said, I'm sorry, you haven't got a vocation, go away. So it was pretty brutal, but that's the way it worked in those days. And she became a lace maker. So it's interesting that both Thérèse's parents felt they had religious vocations and God led them in another direction. Put it another way, they both went through real disappointment and difficulty in terms of working out where their life was going as young people. But the Lord led them through that to the place they were meant to be. And I think that's part of the power of their own story and their own example now as beatified people. But secondly, notice that both of them became craftsmen, watches and lace. You couldn't find any professions that are more concerned with detail, could you? Using the microscope, you see these watchmakers when they attach this microscope to their eye, and Zélie Alençon was famed throughout the world for the quality of its lace. And so both men and women, craftsmen, craftspersons, committed to detail and knowing that the vision of the whole didn't work out unless you paid attention to the details. The big picture didn't make sense unless you cared about the small things. That was built into the structure of their lives and their profession. It didn't make them obsessive. They were warm, happy, open, gracious people. But they knew the importance for the big things of caring about the little things. And I've no doubt that is part of what Thérèse's spirituality grew out of. But they weren't just craftspersons. They were business persons. They both ran businesses. And in fact, Zélie's was the most successful business. In the end, Louis gave up his watchmaking to become the accountant, the front man of Zélie's lace-making firm. And she, it wasn't just her making lace. She employed other people to make the lace with her. So the reason I'm saying this is partly because it's interesting, but just they were astute people. Again, you think of this picture of bourgeois France, I do anyway, of, I don't know, people having cups of tea in nice gardens. But you know, these were hard-nosed businessmen and women, as well as loving, warm family persons. And that's important for Thérèse's life. She grew up in this atmosphere. So, family, Thérèse's family background. It was devout. There was a genuine, strong, rooted, earthy faith, Catholic faith. It was part of their bones. It was part of the air that she breathed. Faith was at the centre of their lives. But as I said, it wasn't just a fuzzy piety. These were hard-working, ordinary, caring, professional people getting on with their busy lives with faith and family at the centre. Secondly, family life was full of love. A warm love of two parents who cared for each other. Thérèse was the little sister of five. So a love of her elder sisters. And just so you know the age difference, when Thérèse was born, Marie was 12, Pauline was 10, Léonie was 9, and Céline was 4. And Thérèse was 0, baby. So she wasn't just the littlest, she was really the little one. Apart from Céline, all of her elder sisters, I guess, would have seemed like parents, mothers to her, really. So, full of faith, full of love, but the third thing to say about her family life was it was full of suffering. It wasn't sheltered in that sense. The parents and the elder sisters, they had 4 children die in infancy. It was very much a part of life then in the 19th century. But you can see a kind of solid, upright, middle-class French family wasn't sheltered from the reality of the hardest suffering. So that's where Thérèse grew up. And Thérèse herself, her character, she was bright, devout, she was mischievous, very, very stubborn, her mum says. We've got letters that her mother wrote to her family. It's lovely because it's as if you've got this real-time glimpse of Thérèse growing up. And one of the characteristics that comes across was how happy she was and how stubborn and strong-minded she was. And this comes through in Thérèse's life and writings and spirituality. So notice happy. Her character, without a doubt, was cheerful and happy. But all of this was shattered when Thérèse was 4 and her mum died of breast cancer. So Zélie, the heart of the family in terms of love and warmth and motherliness, but also, as I said, the heart of the family in terms of business. So it was quite a modern family in some ways. The mum that was there at the centre, running the family business. She died when Thérèse was 4, and all the children were still children, really. So it was a tragedy for the family, unbelievable. And again, I offer to you Zélie as a holy woman to pray to when you yourself are going through suffering, but especially when you meet families that are going through family difficulties. Parents who are sick, children who are sick, parents who lose children, children who lose parents. We have these wonderful saints to pray to and to turn to. So at age 4, Thérèse's life was shattered. And she had 10 very difficult years. She lost her happy disposition. She became overnight wary, oversensitive, gloomy. When she eventually went to school, she did well in her studies, but she found it very, very hard to make friends, and she became introverted. So it was a real wound to her life and her character and her growing up, the loss of her mother. And Thérèse went through an awful lot psychologically as a young child. She still had, has to be said, the love of her sisters. She took Pauline as her mother. She said, "You're going to be my mother now." And a deeply devoted father who was everything that a father could have been in that situation. Loving her, doting on her, going fishing, going for walks, visiting the Blessed Sacrament. But very conscious, he was a good dad, that it was important not to spoil her. So he was very devoted and loving, but he didn't spoil her as a girl. So the suffering of her mother's death, but the security of the love of her father and her sisters. And not just that, but when Mum died, they made the conscious decision to move from Alençon to Lisieux. That's the famous town now. She's called Thérèse of Lisieux. But why did she move there? It was because Zélie's brother and family lived there. So it was to make sure that all of the family had the support of extended family in that new home. So I'm talking a bit about the suffering of Thérèse now. It's not the only thing, but it is significant. She lost her mum when she was 4. Things got very difficult. And then when she was 10, Pauline, her elder sister, her second mother, left home in order to join the Carmelite convent in Lisieux, which was only a short walk away from their family home. But it was another profound crisis for Thérèse. Thérèse is 10, and in effect she loses her mother a second time, because they were so close an enclosure in a Carmelite monastery at that time was so strict. So it was a real bereavement for Thérèse, and one that shocked her. Not that it was worse than her mother's death, but it compounded, really, the bereavement of her mother's death that she never really got over. And she went through, Thérèse, at 10, a kind of, really, has to be said, a breakdown. A psychological breakdown that caused a physical breakdown and caused an almost complete physical collapse in her, so that the family was worried she was going to die. It was very, very serious. There was very serious concern over whether she was going to make it. And there was 24-hour care, and they started a novena of prayer and masses at the Our Lady of Victory's church in Paris. Very, very genuine concern over whether she was going to pull through. And famously, her recovery was brought about, in her words, by having a vision of the statue of Our Lady that was placed in her room in that terrible week. And in a particular moment, she saw the statue of Our Lady smiling at her. She recounts this. Not just smiling, but some moment, some vision of seeing this smile, which was transforming for Thérèse. And in that moment, she says, I was healed. So we don't know exactly what happened, but something happened. It was grace, it was the Holy Spirit, it was the prayers of Our Lady, and it transformed her such that was the physical and the psychological healing that she needed by the grace of God. And she recovered. And that was the turning point. And that resulted in a whole series of conversations and difficulties, but I won't go into that. So, there's Thérèse, 10. She's pulled through that difficulty. Things are still not quite right, really. She's a 10-year-old girl, gone through a lot of trauma, not quite herself, but able to cope with life. And she grew up in faith. She was taught by Marie in terms of her faith and her catechesis and her sacramental preparation. Her first Holy Communion was a very, very graced, blessed time for her. Really, it was a time of a mystical experience. She talks about how when she went to receive her first Holy Communion, she had a real sense of meeting Christ and of consolation and of being one with him. She talks about how her and Christ were fused. This is her, I don't know what the French is, but this is what her language is. So it was a real grace and a confirmation that the Lord was present with her in Holy Communion, and the Lord loved her and wanted to be with her. And that belief in Christ's presence in the Blessed Sacrament never left her, even in lots of the spiritual darkness that she went through later on. Now I'm going to jump over her conversion, because I'm going to finish with that, and that's the heart of what I want to talk about in this conference. But just to finish the story of Thérèse's life, she'd had a desire to be a nun, she says, from the age of 3. So that's quite something, isn't it? I don't know if any of you have had strong desires for anything age of 3 that you've actually followed through. But there it was. And then she'd seen her two eldest sisters enter the Carmelite convent in Lisieux, Pauline and Marie. And now at age 14, liberated by her conversion experience, which I'm going to tell you about in a minute, she feels this is the time to try and pursue her vocation, even though she knows she's too young. But back to her character, this is part of her stubbornness. When she's convinced of something, She wants to do it. So at 14, she approaches her father, and amazingly, he respects her decision. It's not that he says, go away and do it, but he doesn't discourage her. He listens like a good father. And in fact, the sisters in the convent are open to this. They're willing. But everyone else is against her joining a Carmel so young. From her uncle, who really is a part of the family, right up to the bishop of Lisieux. And famously, you might have heard this story, on a trip to Rome that she goes on, again, she does exactly what she's not meant to do because she's so stubborn. They're told, don't speak to the Pope. But they meet him one by one, and she falls on her knees and grabs him and says, Holy Father, please let me enter the convent. And then when they say, don't talk to her, she speaks again. And then when they say, stop, she speaks again. And they have to manhandle her off the Pope, a priest, and two of his bodyguards, and drag her away. So she's very devout and obedient. But when it comes to it, she's pretty stubborn and strong-willed and steely. And let's put it this way, a very modern way of putting it. She's a risk-taker. When something's important, she does it. And the Pope very wisely says, I can't remember the exact words, but if it's God's will, you'll enter. So if someone's coming to you for spiritual counsel and you're not sure what to say, then that's, you can use that phrase of the Pope. Anyway, there is some opposition still, but through her part, above all, through her courage and her perseverance, which impresses other people, they see that there is some genuine inspiration there. And she prevails, and she enters Carmel in April 1888 at the age of 15. So this young woman, battered and bruised by her childhood, but really renewed by this conversion that she's gone through at 14, becomes a Carmelite nun at age 15. There are 24 other sisters, including two of her own blood sisters, and she becomes Saint Therese of the Child Jesus. That's her proper name. And later she adds, of the Holy Face. So officially, when we pray to her, we should say, and we do on her feast days, Saint Therese of the Child Jesus and of the Holy Face.